Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, what was it that the Pharisees were so upset about? Why did they command Jesus to rebuke his followers? What was it about his entrance into Jerusalem that had them so riled up? Was it that he rode into town with people throwing their coats on the ground and palm branches before him, as if he were some conquering king returning from a battle? Perhaps. Or could it have been the praise of the people and their Old Testament quotes acclaiming Jesus as a man sent from God? Maybe. But I don't think so. Or could it have been that one Hebrew expression which they cried out, one which is actually recorded in Matthew, Mark, and John, but is not recorded here in our gospel lesson this morning from Luke, that one word, Hosanna, literally translated, save us, we pray. I think so. I think it was this exclamation from the crowds that infuriated the Pharisees so. To be sure, all of these other things took their toll upon them. But I believe it was this cry from the people which kind of pushed the Pharisees over the edge. For who had the power to save the people other than God alone? And you gotta love Jesus' reply here when the Pharisees tell him that he should be scolding his disciples. And Jesus replies, I tell you that if they keep quiet, the stones themselves will cry out. This is why I think it was the word Hosanna that the Pharisees were reacting to. Because Jesus replied that the stones themselves would cry out. And the word that Jesus used here by the writer for cry out is not the word for to praise or to exclaim. But it's a word which means to cry out, as in to cry out for mercy and for help. It's the word that is used when Peter began to sink into the stormy seas. And he cries out to Jesus to save him. It's the word used when the two blind men sat by the road in the entrance to Jericho. And they cry out to Jesus to help them. It's the word used when the evil spirits encounter Jesus. And they cry out to him not to destroy them, but to have mercy on them. This is not a word of proclamation, such as when one comes praising in the name of the Lord. It's a word of petition, as when one cries out, save us, we pray. The Pharisees just wouldn't and somehow couldn't accept the fact that Jesus could save the people, that Jesus was deserving of such an honor and such honor, that Jesus was from God, that Jesus was God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, the whole creation has been groaning, crying out, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time, waiting eagerly for redemption. And so, here in our text, as Jesus made his way into Jerusalem, no longer in hiding or keeping secret his mission and his identity, nature itself wanted to cry out to him for salvation. It all just goes to show you how blind, or maybe I should say how hard-headed and hard-hearted the Pharisees really were. They couldn't see something that even the inanimate rocks on the ground could see. That Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the one who had been sent from God with the power to save the people. You know, sometimes we say that a person who just doesn't get it, just isn't catching on, has a head full of rocks. In this case, it might have helped the Pharisees if they really did have a head full of rocks. For then they may have been able to cry out, "Lord, save us." But they couldn't. They couldn't bring themselves to see Jesus for who he really was and is, the Son of God and God's instrument of salvation. They just had too many barriers in their lives. Jesus didn't come up through the rank and file of the Jewish system. He didn't keep the Sabbath. He ate with sinners. He came from Nazareth, of all places, and a host of other things. He just wasn't the Messiah they were expecting or even wanting. Thus, even though Jesus demonstrated by his knowledge and his use of the scriptures, by his miraculous displays and loving ways, by his ability to speak and think and react on his feet and in the moment, and finally his ability to rally people around him, they just couldn't accept him. They couldn't accept the truth. Have you ever had that problem with someone? I remember one time at an after Christmas sale, I had that problem with a store clerk. The wrapping paper sign said 75% off the original price. So I brought some up to buy it, and when the clerk rang it up, she rang it up as 50% off the original price, and then 25% off of that, thinking that 50% plus 25%, of course, adds up to 75%, right? Wrong. See, most people might have gone for that. I don't know if you would have or not. I don't know how good your math skills are, but math was always my good subject in school. So I knew that 50% off the original price and then 25% off of that was really 62.5% off the original price, not the 75% that they were advertising. You know, as soon as the base number changes, so does the value of each percentage point. But I could not convince the store clerk of this. I tried and I tried and I tried to explain her error that she was charging me too much, and she just got angrier and angrier and angrier. So finally we called in the manager. And after a little refresher course on how percentages are figured, the manager understood, oh yeah, I guess you're right. But even after the manager agreed with me, the store clerk was still thought I was wrong, was still angry. She simply could not accept what I was saying. To her, it was just so simple. 50, 25 equals 75. But she was wrong. And so were the Pharisees. But no matter what Jesus did to convince them of who he was, they just got angrier and angrier and angrier. And they became more entrenched in their presumptions. Perhaps we're not always that different from the Pharisees. Perhaps sometimes we have an agenda that we expect God to follow. And when he doesn't do things the way we expect him to, we begin to get angry. And we start to doubt him. Maybe we think to ourselves, you know, maybe he's not all powerful. Maybe he doesn't love me the way that I've been told he does. Maybe I've put my faith into one who isn't able to help me. Maybe I've been duped, like much of the world, into believing and hoping in something that just isn't true. If you, like the Pharisees, have ever doubted the lordship of Christ, I encourage you, as they might say, and they do say, in the Earth exhibit at Epcot Center, to listen to the land. Ask yourself, why did the earth quake when Jesus died? Why did the sun stop shining in the sky as he hung on the cross? Why did the surging sea stand still when he told it to be silent? For the same reasons that the stones were ready to cry out. Because nature knows its creator. It knows the one who holds the power over life and death in his hands. It knows to whom it is subject. To God. And it recognized Jesus as God. It seems as if God's inanimate creation knows something of which his very animate creation still needs to be convinced, that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior of the world. He is the one to cry Hosanna to, for he alone has the power to save us. And he demonstrated that power by dying for us on a cross to forgive us of our sins, and by rising victoriously over the grave to give us that gift of everlasting life with God. He bore our sin that we might bear his righteousness and thus be saved. In times of doubt, times of despair, times of anger or confusion or maybe even apathy. In those times when your soul is crying out to God, Hosanna, save me, I pray. But no answers seem to be forthcoming. And you need a little encouragement and a little hope. I would encourage you to listen to the land. Just imagine for a moment what the stones would say if they could talk. I'll tell you what they would say. Hosanna, Lord Jesus, save us. In the name of Jesus Christ, who alone can and has already saved us. Amen.